Hey, I'm back. Not from the dead, of course, but I have a little more to share with you soap lovers. I spent a lot of time in Stories Without End waxing about feminism, representation, and the social impact of soap operas. All good stuff, all meaningful, all true. Now we get to go behind the scenes, pull back the curtain on how soaps manage to come on 5 days a week, every week. Answer questions that you might have, just like me. I flew out to Burbank, California to visit.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Come join me on this bonus episode of Stories Without End. So I am standing outside of stage 4. The on-air sign is on, Days of Our Lives. I'm waiting to go in and see what I can watch.
Rehearsal.
Yeah.
Ready?
Out.
No, and
there.
Action.
Are you saying they let Clyde out of prison?
His lawyer managed to get him a hearing on his appeal. To appeal his arrest in Montana.
Speeding, ready, and action.
Are you saying Clyde's out of prison?
His lawyer managed to get him a hearing to appeal his arrest in Montana. He was alleging all kinds of procedural errors.
And what, the judge agreed they just let him out?
No, he escaped.
What?
Hold, we're gonna get one shot
again.
That was me on a soundstage watching the Horton living room from afar. The Hortons are a core family on the soap. The scene was with the characters Chad Demera and Patch Johnson. It's unbelievable that soaps come on every weekday with no reruns. To do that, the actors were rehearsing and taping at the same time. My day-long visit came right before the 15,000th episode taping of Days. The show has been running since 1965.
And Lauren, come on out to stage 4 for Lost Looks. 2 scenes away, Alex said.
I interviewed a number of people while there, including this legend.
I'm Deidre Hall. I played Marlena Evans on Days of Our Lives since 1976. I think the fans would describe her as everything to everyone. She is a mother, she's a wife, she's a friend, she's a daughter, she's a sister, she's a therapist. I think she sort of fits a role in everybody's life.
Has anyone calculated how many episodes you have been on?
But of course, I hit 5,000 a month or so ago. But I think that's more television hours than any person in the history of the medium.
Wow.
Well, think about it. If it's 5 days a week, 5,000 shows, who could be doing that? Dan Rather? No, don't think so. Newscasters? No. Episodic? No. They do one show a week. There really isn't any sort of venue that allows you that many hours on screen.
Not a one. In 1994, I started watching Days my freshman year of college. My roommate Christina taped the soap every day and every night we watched. This was when one of the most outrageous soap storylines aired. It's still talked about. Marlena possessed by the devil. Here's a scene with Marlena and resident evildoer Stefano Demera. His villainy pales like a frightened ghost once confronted with Marlena's diabolic transformation. He enters the room and sees her tied down to a bed. He helps her and things go, well, hear it for yourself.
Marlena. My God.
Stefano.
Are you all right?
Oh, thank goodness you're here. Please, my darling, untie these bonds. Please untie me. Please hurry. Oh, please.
All right, all right. All right.
Oh, thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes. Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Marlena, Marlena, Marlena.
Oh. Oh.
You fool. You have interfered for the last time.
Marlena's yellow eyes, the altered voice, it was deliciously absurd. Fictional Salem, Illinois residents watched the upstanding character levitate and wreak havoc. And it was all Stefano's fault. See, he had hypnotized her to make her fall in love with him, but that left Marlena open to demonic possession, obviously, because that's what happens when you hypnotize someone who isn't in love with you.
Jim Riley, who was our head writer at that point, is a devout Catholic. And had enormous respect for the church and its beliefs and its sanctity. And he pitched the story. And I think everybody kind of sat still for a moment and said, what? And I was invited to be part of the conversation subsequent to that. And we're going to do, you know how all these things have been happening, Christmas trees and presents being trashed. And yeah. It's you. What do you mean it's you? You're possessed. What do you mean I'm possessed? You're possessed by the devil. And I thought, well, this is a reach for Marlena, but sure, okay. And my only concern was that we do it well. We don't cartoon it. We don't be silly. We don't trivialize it. And in fact, I guess I can say this. When we were doing the storyline, Drake and I would just quietly say a little quick prayer before we ever got into it, every day we shot, just because that's how we felt about it. Just, you know, keeping us all safe and protected and still doing our job. And anyway, we attracted an enormous young audience then. You must know that because you're talking about it. Yeah, possession brought lots and lots and lots of young people to us.
The storyline went on for months, and Marlena's husband performed an emergency exorcism. Marlena's possession is knitted into the lore of Days. Yes, a lot of young people watched. It showed just how far Days would go for its audience. As you can see, the head writer has a lot of power and can steer the show one way or another. Ron Colavati was the head writer. I caught up with him after I left California. His career path is a soap lover who grew up to be a lawyer who quit his job in 1996 to become a soap writer's assistant. He's also been head writer for General Hospital and One Life to Live. Colavati loves a good soap absurd story. You know, evil twins and whatnot.
I tend to like gravitate toward these over the top stories, but I, you know, soaps, as you know, are important in that they're writing very real world stories and, you know, social issue stories. And so when I started, I tried to have an element of that because I was writing doppelgangers and stuff like that. That's sort of the beauty of soaps is that, you know, you can write Marlena being possessed by the devil and then you can write something that like actually is very topical.
And a lot of writing he does. Days used to tape one episode a day, and that's a lot. Now, 9 shows a week.
And I write 6 a week every week, and you can't really fall behind. I can't, if I write 5 one week, then there has to be 7 another week. And so, you know, it's easy to criticize the writing on soaps, but we have to move at the speed of light. And I'm pretty proud of what we actually accomplish in the amount of time that we have to write the show.
What is today like for you? Like, is this interview really messing up your timeline to get your episode
A little
done?
Bit, but not, I mean, like I've been doing it for so long that I know how to get it done. But essentially, I do write 6 with my team. I'm not writing them personally, but we write 6 episodes, 6 outlines a week. Okay, so then an outline is like 14, 15 pages. And it's every scene, it's written out more like you're reading a novel, you know. And those then are met on by the network. They give their notes. And then the following week, as we go to write the next 6, there's a team of script writers that take those outlines and turn each one, say a 14-page outline, into like 75 pages of dialogue. So it's a bit of an assembly line.
And then the actors have to memorize all those lines. Deidre Hall says her process is to read the night before.
And if there are cues in my paragraph or my co-star's paragraph, I look at those especially because it means I've got to feed them the line that they're responding to. And then because we have this extraordinary short-term memory, because what we do is memorize and forget, By morning, I will have forgotten it. And sometimes I will walk on stage and go, this doesn't even look familiar anymore. And I just went over it. And you'll see us carrying our scripts. You know, the sound all actors know in daytime is the sound of our script hitting the floor, because we have it in front of us until the very last second, and we're going to roll, okay, all scripts hit the floor. And then you just try to get it out there.
Stephen Nichols has played Patch off and on since 1985. He was in the scene taping at the top of this episode. Still has his patch over his eye, a prop. He says his theater background prepared him for the rigor of soaps.
The number one thing they told you when you started out was, when you hit that stage for the first rehearsal, you must be off book. So that's one thing that's such an advantage for people who came from the theater, that came into soaps. They knew how to come to work prepared and be off book. And I find, you know, nowadays some young actors, they don't have a clue because they've never done a play. Some of them have not studied. They're just like, maybe they're popular on Instagram or something. And, you know, that's too bad.
Nichols has had roles on other soaps. Patch is an ex-Marine and lost his eye in a fight. I know him as Stefan Cassadine of the wicked, yet entertaining, Cassadine family on General Hospital. I asked him how he switched back and forth between those roles.
Well, I sometimes tell this story and some people laugh, but I came from playing I played a lot of bad guys and a lot of guys from the street, and you know, and this was the first time I played a really dignified man who was very wealthy and from a sort of royal family, if you will. And I had this image. I always played around with this psychological gesture, which is from Michael Chekhov's teachings. You find a way to create a physical gesture for yourself to get inside the character, to get deeper inside. So my gesture for Stefan was to put a crown on my head and have to keep that there, walk with that crown on my head so it never falls off, and have that very kind of regal, confident stature.
It's not just the actors and writers working at a rapid pace. There's a whole apparatus that keeps the soap machine running. When we come back, we'll meet more of the off-camera folks who make a soap like Days of Our Lives happen.
Hey, I'm Jorge Andres Olivares, and I'm hosting a new show, Hyphenación. Unlike many other hyphenated Latinos in the U.S., our cultures and our communities inform our choices, like with money.
We had that pressure to be the breadwinner.
Religion.
I just think Jesus was what we would now define as queer.
And family.
We're not physically close, and we're not like that emotionally close either.
So join me and some amigas as we have easy conversations about hard things. Catch Hyphenación from KQED Studios wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
The look of a soap and its world, in this case, the fictional Salem, Illinois, can be just as important as the main characters. The extreme close-ups, the crispness of the camera, dramatic music. Tom Early is a production designer for Days.
We have sets that are on stage that stay there. So we have the Brady Pub, the nurse's station, the police station.
And I don't know if you've worked on other sets for televisions, but what makes soaps unique?
I think the rapid pace we work, and there's a plus to that. I think when you work on any other type of show, it's so slow, and you're just sitting around waiting forever, and they have to light it, and it's exciting when you actually get to do it. But with us, it's like we're putting on a play every day, and you walk in, and okay, now we're here. The cameras are on wheels. There's maybe 3 to 5 minutes per scene just to shoot it, and we just bam, 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 and it's nonstop. So I think the plus to that is there's a energy you get from banging it out quickly like that.
Could you give a comparison, like what would a sitcom go through versus a soap?
They produce 17 minutes, you know, a half-hour show with commercials that's 17 minutes. We're doing 8.5 hour-long episodes in 5 days. So just the sheer material of it. A sitcom will rehearse and rehearse and rehearse that 17 minutes, and then they go to camera usually on Friday. Whereas we, 8:45 in the morning, and that's the final way. And the actors have to be on their game, and I have to be on my game, and all of us have to work together to make that all happen. This is our all of our things, our tchotchkes. It's all
Early is showing a 38,000 square foot warehouse filled with props.
So when the set comes back, all of the smalls, they call them smalls, are ready to go. Also, we take pictures of everything and constantly update the pictures. So I have thousands and thousands of pictures in our catalog.
Those photos are updated and keep everything organized because of the volume of items. There's no way to barcode everything because there's just too much and it constantly changes. It takes weeks to build a set such as a bedroom. He takes me to, arguably, the most important set. It's the living room where I watched Patch and Chat tape at the top of this episode.
This set is really interesting. It's been on our show for 59 years.
This set
here, the Horton House.
Oh, okay.
And it is, as far as I know, the longest continually running set in entertainment history. No other television show. So I'm proud of the fact that this is the one thing we have that's history-making, really. The fact that it's on camera a lot. I would say it's still on camera once or twice a week. And it's built like on I Love Lucy, the sets kind of do this. Mm-hmm. The side walls, and this is the same way. See how they kind of... And that's old television. That's how they designed the sets in those days. They didn't have any carpet. The camera was high up. When we were redoing it, I would take the hardware off the doorknobs, and the old avocado green paint is still there from the 60s.
So Early takes me to the most grand set, like the Demira Mansion. The late Stefano's portrait is above the fireplace. Secret panels lead to a secret tunnel. I've seen the sets, but what about the clothes? Have you ever wondered if soap actors wear the same outfits twice? Yes and no. Richard Bleuer is the costume designer for Days.
Jeans, suits, dress shirts, ties, things like that. Shoes are worn again. But I try to make it, because what was worn even like 2 years ago. So you try to keep up with the fashion that's in the store. I hate to say it's not like runway fashion. It's not, Paris Week by any means.
He shops at Nordstrom, Saks, and Urban Outfitters for younger characters. He shows me the fitting room, up to 130 changes of clothes a week.
I see bust pads, shoulder pads, breast enhancers.
Most of the people in soap opera land are in and out of bed, so it has to do a lot with comfort level for women. And we can get away with a lot with wrapping somebody in a sheet, too.
What would you say the philosophy is around how you dress soap characters?
Well, I would say my philosophy is two things. One is, of course, you got to remember that you're on video or television, which is a little different than if you're dealing with stage or you're dealing with film. It's a little bit, it has to catch the audience's eye for me and get people to stay and watch. Number two is, I think soap operas are a little bit more, no offense to anybody, but a little bit more like a comic book, a little bit bigger than life.
So since this has been worn already, I want to know if I can have that pink coat.
Well, I don't think you need it in L.A. Maybe in Chicago you might need it.
No, I'm just joking, but that did stand out.
After a day, I returned home to Chicago. Visiting a soap set is definitely one of the coolest journalistic things I've done. I got to see how the proverbial sausage is made. My appreciation for soaps already ran deep, but understanding the rapid-fire pace everyone works at to be on daily television screens is a daily miracle. Kind of like how a newspaper is produced every single day without fail. I wonder what weird or wonderful things soaps will trot out for us next. In the meantime,
I hope you enjoyed your time with me on Stories Without End. Until next time. Unless my evil doppelganger takes over.
Stories Without End is a production of WBEZ Chicago and part of the NPR network. I'm your host and writer, Natalie Moore. The show is produced by Hina Srivastava and edited by Ariel Van Cleve. It's mixed by Haley Bloomquist. We had music and production assistance from Justin Bull and Dave Miska. Thanks to Brendan Banizak. Our executive producer is Tracy Brown.